Hey everybody, this is Richard Sachs. I'm your host from Lost Arts Radio. We're here for another really great live stream session with an exciting guest, and I just want to give you a little context for what the content of this show is about and how we're doing it. You know, we've been talking for a long time about the holistic, natural way to health without relying on a lot of toxic chemicals and things like that, invasive procedures. And there are things that have been taught for thousands and thousands of years, way before recorded history even, about laws of nature that are still the same. And it's just a matter of learning them and then adapting them to the conditions we live in now so that you can apply them correctly. And one of the understandings is that to regain and maintain your health and energy, you need to go through at least two phases, one of which is detoxification of the body, getting all the stored poisons out of it that have come in through environmental exposure or mistakes we make in what we do every day. And then after you detox your body, you got to build it back up. And those are not necessarily the same protocols. And once you go through that, then you're basically starting a new part of your life, and it gets really exciting. And if you ever want to see an example of how that was taught a long time ago, look at a book called The Essene Gospel of Peace, Volume 1, or Book 1. And you don't even have to buy it. It's free on the internet as a PDF. Just punch it into a search engine. So that detox part of the healing process is always the first one. And especially nowadays, it's even more so. So adapting fasting to how to use it in the modern age is a really important concept if you want to know about real health. And I thought, who can we get on to talk about that that would be great, that's involved in that every day and has been helping thousands of people all over the world to actually go through the process and support them and educate them about the right way to do it. And I thought, wow, if we could get Sam Asser on, that would be great. And incredibly, she agreed to do that and come on the show with us. She's involved with an organization called Fastway to Health with her brother Mitch, and they both do the coaching of people to get back their health. And I want to know all about what's going on with that, but also the background. So thanks for being here, Sam, and I think it'll be a really fun discussion.
Thank you so much, Richard. Yeah, I'm stoked to be here, and I definitely think it will be fun as well.
Yeah. So the way I'd like to start this, since it's not just for the people that are familiar with fasting and, you know, do juice already and stuff like that, I want to include in our discussion the people who don't know what a fast is, don't know what juicing is about or anything like that, and don't necessarily know you yet. But to introduce you as a, you know, dimensional real person and not just a protocol to do juice fasting, I'd like to go back to before you started all this stuff, and whatever length of time you'd like to go back, and then what were the steps that led you up to where you are now, and then we'll get into stuff that's going on in the present, what people can do.
Absolutely. So yeah, my journey goes back a few years ago now, and I refer to it a bit as a past life because it feels like such a complete different part of my life.
Right.
But I was growing up in typically what I deemed as quite healthy, right? Like I was, you know, involved in the health and fitness industry, and was always craving to feel better or to look better. Right. And that led me on this journey of constantly trying to find the next best thing, or constantly starting like a 6-week challenge that I never finished. You know, I was always waiting out for cheat day or.
Hold on. You froze again for a minute. I heard you up to treat day and then you cut out for a minute.
Right. Sorry.
Listen, Sam, are you on Wi-Fi or are you connected to an Ethernet cable?
Yeah, I'm using Wi-Fi.
You don't have a way to plug in, do you? Because that might be what's going on if the Wi-Fi's uneven.
I don't right now.
Okay, well, we'll hope it's going to be well-behaved. And if it's not, I hope you'll forgive me for waving at you to repeat, you know, or.
Yeah, sure.
I just don't want people to miss anything you say.
Frustrating, right?
Okay, so treat day was the last word I heard.
Yeah, and hanging out for treat day, and I was really good at listening to everyone outside of myself tell me the answer of my body and what I should be doing. You know, I was always feeling bloated. I was always on a health kick and, you know, always looking for that next best thing. And at this point in my life as well, like it wasn't like that was the worst thing, then people would be like, oh, well, that's okay. You're doing all right. I had a great job. I had a great partner. I lived in an incredible place in Australia, and life was great. But there was something within me that felt like there was more. Like I felt like there's something that I haven't tapped into yet that is leading me to something more. And so I'd heard about fasting, and I'd like heard about, you know, holistic health, and I just kind of kept it in the back of my mind. But it wasn't until this part of me got so strong that I decided to completely change up my whole entire life. I moved jobs, I moved cities, I ended a long-term relationship and completely shifted my life. After a lot of, you know, partying and being lost and having no direction and no purpose and not knowing what I was doing, I eventually woke up one day and I drew the line in the sand and I went, that's it. Something needs to change. And it was that point where fasting came into my mind and I thought, I'm going to fast. And that was the catalyst of change for my life that led me.
How did you even get the idea to fast? I mean, most people think, why would you not want to eat? I mean, what even introduced you to that?
So I'd heard of Tyler Tolman probably within the year. So a year ago, I'd been to one of his live events and I thought it was interesting, but it just wasn't in the place for me to actually act and do something about it. I just was really like, oh, I really like that. And I really resonate with holistic health and fasting, but that would take a lot of commitment and I'm not ready for that yet. And so I had heard about it and I just was very interested in it and I didn't know why. And then when the time came when like, I mean, you've probably had it yourself, Richard, where you go, enough's enough. Like, you know, I've had all those moments of starting Monday and starting next week, but this was different. This was like something in my heart of hearts saying, no more, like it's time to make a change. I guess when you are willing to surrender to the universe, then it provides you with an answer. And the answer for me was a fast, and it dropped in and I trusted that. And I think it was the next day I went straight into a 7-day juice fast. And from then on, my life's never been the same since.
Wow. Amazing. So how long ago was that?
That was...
Hold on. Your picture's freezing again. Hold down, Sam. We can't hear you. I don't know if you can hear me. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
Okay, start again. I asked you how long ago it was and then your picture froze.
Sorry. Yep, so it was 2015.
Okay. Okay, so 3 years ago, basically. Yeah. Okay, so before I ask you what happened next, when you were in the life before that and you said you were always going into these challenges that you never finished when you were waiting for treat day. What kind of challenges were those? What was it that you weren't finishing?
So, I mean, a lot of people might resonate with, you know, a 6-week health kick, right? It's where you're going to like eat really well for 6 weeks and lose weight and then you can go back to your old ways.
So what is that, like not processed food or something?
At the time, it was what I was told was healthy from the people around me and to what I knew at that time. So I remember clearly one program I was following was like having protein. It was like having protein and greens or something for 6 times a day. And it was like I was eating meat and nuts for breakfast. Like things like my body was just really reacting to and not.
So was that like a ketogenic program, something like that?
Potentially, yeah. This was probably years ago before the keto kind of label came out. But like loads of protein, no carbs, or you know,
right. I mean, the no carb program sounds really good in a lot of ways, but your energy goes away after a while. I mean, that's been my experience anyway.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, and I agree with something where you're taking away something for a long period of time and restricting yourself from that, then I also don't think that's a good thing.
Yeah. Okay, so we're up to 3 years ago. So what was the next part of the story?
So that's where I was led into fasting, which led me on an actual pretty crazy mindfulness kind of journey. So from the very first fast that I did, it opened me up to meditation, which I was, prior to that time, I was one of those people that couldn't sit still. Like the thought of sitting down and meditating, if you like, was like, what does that even look like? Like, I'm a Leo and I like to talk and my mind goes 100 miles an hour. There's no chance of me sitting down and being still. And so from my fasting journey, it led me to meditation. And all I did was start with 2 minutes a day where I'd set my timer and I'd just be in a place of stillness. And why I bring this up is because it's probably one of the major changes that has impacted my life of what I did. Mixing fasting with meditation and mindfulness allowed emotions to rise and to be and to come out. It allowed me to go within and listen to myself and my body. And for the first time in my life, I built a really strong connection to food and a really healthy relationship with my body. And that was from the very first fast that I did. And then just allowing reflect internally and let out and not listen to the noise or everyone else's beliefs, and for the first time listen to myself.
It's really interesting that you came to combining fasting with the meditation, because there, in the really ancient scriptures that going back many thousands of years, they talk about fasting and prayer. And people sometimes think that means reciting a prayer when you fast, but I think it means more what you're talking about, that it's a state of mind and emotion and attention that has to be there in order to get the real benefit out of the fast. So you're doing the same thing they were doing, you know, all those long time ago, and doing it in a way that works now. And I was also going to ask you, what do you think makes it so hard for people to sit still and try to meditate?
That's a good question. I think that it's the idea of what they have in head about what meditation is. Like, I think we have this perception that we need to be like this monk in, you know, in the monasteries and having no thoughts and just being completely clear. And I think in this busy world that we live in, the thought of doing that seems overwhelming in itself. And so I think it's just the conditioning or the belief of what you have around the idea of meditation. I heard something really great that's really helped my mind to be able to perceive what meditation is and allow me to sit in it. And that was, if you think of your mind like this, you know, 8-lane highway, and there's just cars and things going in all different directions, the idea of meditation is like you're just trying to move that highway into 2 lanes. And so you're not getting rid of thoughts completely. You're not trying to like have this like crazy profound experience. You're just trying to find that sense of calmness so that these thoughts can run through your mind in a more calm, focused way. And then that's going to allow you to, you know, receive the message or let go of the stress that's bombarding you at that time.
Right. So do you involve breathing at all, consciousness of your breath or anything in your body, or how do you put that together?
Yeah. I mean, now going on 3 years of studying this and doing it myself, there's loads of different meditations that I tap into and that I like to do. But for a beginner, it's just a really nice way to start with how I started, setting your timer for 2 minutes and just sitting and being okay with whatever comes up and just be in stillness. You can breathe slowly into your belly, but just have no expectations. And then as the 2 minutes becomes an okay process, then the next week add on a minute, and then the next week add on a minute. And then all of a sudden you're doing 20-minute deep meditations where the alarm goes off and you have no idea where you've just been. And it's an incredible feeling. So I think the more consistency we can practice and letting go of expectations of what it looks like, then you can begin to start to then explore different realms of meditation.
Right, right. And this thing of listening to your body is a really big deal too, I think. You know, we've been trained in the so-called scientific world that that's all nonsense and it's subjective and it's anecdotal and it's based on totally irrelevant, silly things like how you feel. And you've actually gone into it and found out is something super valuable and important. So what does it really mean? I mean, that's a big subject. So what's listening to your body?
Richard, this is probably one of my biggest learnings that I've learned across my life about the importance of listening to yourself. And I go back to, you know, my journey growing up, and I was somebody who was constantly sick, constantly injured, and constantly getting hit over the head by the universe because I wasn't listening to myself. And, you know, you get knocked down all the time and your body is constantly sharing messages with you. It's talking to you. It's telling you that it's, you know, knocking you out with a knee injury because it's telling you to pay attention. And the more that we're not paying attention, then it manifests into bigger diseases or bigger things going on in our lives. And I didn't know that that was what's happening. I just thought, you know, why me? Poor me.
Right. In other words, there's no cause to anything. They're just happening.
And it's just happening. It's just happening. And so the thing that I learned from this is that, you know, I can listen to what everyone else is telling me to do and my body's still not liking it. So I'm still getting knocked around. I'm still not getting the results I want. I'm still getting sick and I'm still, my body's still showing up as saying, Sam, pay attention. And I'm not paying attention, but because I'm too busy listening to what everyone else is telling me, because I don't know what I want. I don't know what that feels like. To the moment where I stepped away from that noise and I went within and I felt for the first time like, oh, the, you know, feelings, like an emotion and being okay with that.
Right.
And started to fast and allow that to come out, which cleared my body of toxicity, of traumas, of, you know, past experiences that I hadn't dealt with, of emotions I hadn't dealt with, of, you know, past injuries that I hadn't dealt with, and the mindset and the emotion that was behind all that. And as you start to peel back those layers of that onion and get to the true core of what's actually going on inside, that whisper that everyone has, that, you know, gut instinct of when you're driving, all of a sudden you feel like you should turn left, but you keep going straight because it's not strong enough yet. Like, how can you get to that feeling when you go, I feel like I should turn left, and you actually do it?
Mm-hmm.
That's when the powerful stuff starts to happen. And I started to realize that really, like, it was like small. I was like, oh, that was interesting that I listened to that. And, you know, now this has happened in my life. And so I started to work on that feeling, and meditation and fasting and that combination heightened that so profoundly for me that now I live my life via impulse and via really listening to that. And I tune in because I really feel so strongly that your body is constantly showing you the way and it's constantly guiding you, and it's up to you to choose to listen to that or not.
So you're not just meditating 2 minutes a day, you're kind of bringing that into 24 hours a day, right? All the time.
Oh, yeah. And now it's a lot longer in terms of how I dedicate time because I just know the importance of what it can do. And I also know how out of alignment I am when I'm not doing it. And so I can now tell the difference. And, yeah, I think once you can get to this place of practicing it 24 hours a day, even in your dreams, you know, even
as you're trying to absolutely. Sleep, well, your dreams change.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, tell me if you experience this too, but I think a lot of times people experience their dreams becoming more like being awake. I mean, your actions in respect to other people in your dreams become more and more like what you would tell them or answer them when you're awake. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I get goosebumps talking about dreams because they're so incredibly powerful and healing. Yeah. I have now, like, I didn't even think I remembered my dreams prior to this time, but I can set an intention for my dream and go to work. My dream goes to work. Sometimes I could lucid dream, which is that feeling of like, I don't know if I'm sleeping or awake. And then sometimes I can have dreams with really strong connections with people in my life, and I can tap into whatever's going on for them and experience it myself, or feel to reach out to them the next day, or, you know, like you can have some powerful healing, kind of do some powerful healing work, I guess, in dreams when you're that clear and when you set intentions. Like, why not? If it's working for us, then why would we not utilize that space and manifest what things that we want in life?
Exactly.
There's
a tendency of people to think sleep time is just wasted. You know, your body needs it, so you're just having to sacrifice it so that your body can rest. But that's not exactly accurate, right?
Yeah. And I'll tell you a really, like, something that happened to me last night. I had a friend who, she has a really close friend, and he's going through a hard time with some illness right now. And I said, do you know what? I'll set an intention for my dream that, you know, I'll send him love and light and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And in my dream, in between the hours of 7 a.m. and 9 a.m., which according to, you know, the ancient Chinese clock, meridian, that's where it's focusing on your stomach. This person's pain is in their solar plexus area, their stomach, and in that time frame is really powerful time to do work, healing work for others. And so this person came into my dream, and I was with two other friends that are incredible healers in this earth plane as well. And we were sitting in this garden, and we were surrounding him, and we were, there was just surrounded by lots of nature and happiness and good vibes. And I remember waking up from a dream, and I had to ring my friend straight away and say, hey, like, this is profound, because what happened was at this exact time, targeting this area of the stomach and targeting in the time frame of where you help to heal others, me and these two healers came in, and we were with your friend. And so, like, powerful stuff can happen if you pay attention or if you set the intention. So I just want to share that.
Yeah, so attention and intention are really super powerful, right?
Right.
And we're actually using them all the time. We're just not aware of it. So everybody's thinking about, oh, how can I start manifesting things physically? And they don't realize you are. It's just you haven't really given much thought to it.
Yeah, right. And another thing I think is what we can kind of shift is a lot of the time we're in this kind of time, like worrying about time and like thinking, well, if I did this differently in my life, or if I could go back and if I could, make a different decision, I could have, been doing things differently right now. My life might be different. But yeah, the fact of the matter is that your manifestations and intentions are so important that you have the ability right now to change the course. And so all you need to do is say, well, what is that you're wanting to achieve, and what action or what decision can you change today to write a different story, instead of constantly looking back and, worrying about what happened in the past. A lot of people are suffering right now from depression or from mental health. And I believe that depression comes from when we're so upset and caught in the past of what we didn't or shouldn't or could have, would have, should have done, instead of focusing on the present and focusing on the now and what you have the ability to do that you're so not aware of yet.
Yeah, I mean, connected to that, I've seen that it's also in the present. If people are doing things that their mind says are correct, but underneath they know they're not being true to themselves at all. So even if they're fully in the present and they've convinced themselves to do something they don't feel good about, I think that has results as well. But yeah, it's changeable anytime.
Yeah, it's just a decision. I remember interviewing Marcus Rothgrens once, and he said something that's stuck with me ever since. And he said, if you're still breathing, it's not too late.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's like, oh, of course.
Yeah. He was the first person on this show, actually.
Oh,
he's like 4 or 5 years ago. Really inspiring. Yeah, so that 3 years ago is where we got to that. You were starting Fast Way to Health somewhere around there, right?
Yeah.
Were you already a health coach?
No. So I started my own, like I went on my own fasting kind of journey, and the impact that it was having in my life sent me really deep. It sent me like, I was like, I just wanted to know all of it. Bring it on. And at the same time, Mitch was going through his own health journey, and we kind of combined powers and said, let's do a fasting summit. And like, I'm keen to hear about I want to know more about fasting, and what better way than to ask experts around the world and put it together on a platform that I know I'm going to learn off, and he knows he's going to learn off. And it's like, well, why don't we share that? And like, whoever else needs it in their life right now can also learn. And so that's when we started the first fasting summit, and then we've done it annually ever since.
Wow. Yeah. That's how I first found out about you guys. I think it was probably 2 years ago that I was part of your fasting summit. I mean, just observing and listening to all the great speakers and things. So how did that affect what you were doing every day between the summits? I mean, did it become your full-time occupation, or how did that develop?
Not until a year ago. So it was something that was like a side hustle that I just really loved to do, because I think you have to – what fasting taught me – and what it really showed me was allowed me to come back to the true essence of who I was. And I had forgotten about that. I didn't know what my purpose was. I didn't know what I was excited about. I didn't really even want to jump out of bed in the morning. Like, there was nothing that made me feel alive or made me feel like I'm here for a reason. And then I found fasting, and then I started to explore more into it. And then I started to talk to these experts and get really passionate. And so it didn't feel like a work. It didn't feel like this job. It was just like, can I wake up at 5 a.m. today and do an interview with someone that's over in the U.S. and that's speaking to me? You know, I just felt so alive doing it. And so through fasting, through getting so involved and passionate about it, I remembered why I was here. I remembered my true purpose, and, you know, allowing this work to come to fruition is just a part of my journey, because it feels so true, feels so right. So it wasn't until a year ago that we went full time into doing this work and evolving it and creating, you know, being that insight or being that bridge that just allows people to explore for themselves, and through, you know, fasting programs or however we can help them in whatever way. Build a really strong community now that is so inspiring to just go, wow, all these people are so inspiring. And the messages that they share and their experiences that they're having and the changes that they're making in their life is like, wow, like it's a really awesome community to be part of.
And this all started from your first decision to try a week-long juice fast 3 years ago. Okay. And how did you decide juice instead of water? What did you think about that issue?
No, I just trusted it. I just trusted that. I remember from Tyler Tolman that juice fasting was really beneficial. I doubled in, like, the thought had come up a couple of times. And at this point, because I remembered the motion so clearly, like, that something was needing to change, and I just trusted that that's what it was, yeah, I just went with it. The idea of water fasting had come up, but I knew that it wasn't the right timing. I knew that I needed to be in an environment that was outside of where I lived and where I was working, and I needed to be in a comfortable space that was surrounded by nature and had the right tools. So that was something that I knew would come later, but at that point, for me, it was juice fasting.
So has the way that you did that first fast changed compared to how you're doing fasting now? And if so, how?
Yeah. So.
Oh, and also tell us what exactly you did on the first fast. What kind of stuff were you juicing and how often were you drinking and stuff like that?
Okay, so the first fast was 7 days on juice, and I actually went to a juice company. I was living in Melbourne, Australia at the time. I went to a juice company that provided the juices for me. So I started each morning with like a charcoal, activated charcoal, lemon, salt kind of drink, and then throughout the day had different ones, like earthy kind of ones with like carrots and beets and things, to greens. There would be one like that had like watermelon or something sweet in it that would pick you up. I love anything with pineapple in it. So it was just a mix of juices. I think I started out having what they recommended, which was something like six a day or something, but for me
six like 8 ounce glasses a day.
I don't know what ounce is.
Oh, sorry. You talk about liters and milliliters and stuff, right?
Yeah, it was 600 mils or something.
Okay, so a liter is roughly a quart. I mean, really rough, but it's something like a quart.
Like a quart and a half.
Is it that much? Okay. Well, yeah. Anyway, that's 1,000 milliliters, right?
Yeah.
So if you're saying 600 milliliters, did you say a day?
A day.
Okay. So that's really like 3/4 of a quart or something like that. It's really not that much volume.
Yeah.
For a whole day.
But constantly drinking that and then constantly keeping your hydration up, I found for me like having six was a lot. And
you still did water too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
Definitely had to have like, you know, at least 4 liters a day
of total liquid.
Yeah, of water.
Of water, okay.
Yeah, to stay
hydrated. Okay, that's a lot. That's like, in the other system, that's more than a gallon.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a lot of drinking. Interesting. So, like, for example, there's different approaches. Like, for example, in the Gerson system, which I'm sure you're completely familiar with, they have like 13 glasses of carrot juice a day, and they don't drink any water, or almost none. So what you're doing is more of the water, so that the total liquid intake is more dilute.
Mm.
Probably able to wash stuff away well because of that, I would think.
Yeah, so you want to keep up the hydration and the water to help the toxicity and the elimination process.
What about, whoops, your picture's, you know, your picture's trying to freeze there.
Much water was a lot. Sorry? Okay.
Your picture was trying to freeze there, but I think we caught what you said. What about enemas and colonics and stuff? Did you use those at all?
Yeah, so I got a colonic. I got one colonic during that process. At this stage, I wasn't familiar with enemas.
Okay, okay.
Now it's a completely different story, but at this stage, I just knew at the end I needed to do a colonic.
Okay, so how did it go through steps to change to the way that you do fasting now?
Education, definitely.
Okay.
And interviewing all these people to realize the steps that had to be taken, and to get the most out of it, to get have the most optimal experience. From that process, I went deep into fasting. So organically, I went into intermittent fasting, which is where you eat within a certain window. And that was probably one of the massive changes in my life in terms of like ridding bloating, balancing out my hormones, regulating my periods, losing weight, leaning out, feeling
and,
so much
and this better. Is like part of your everyday normal pattern now is intermittent fasting, right?
Yeah, so this
so
is what I
only eat between when and when.
Yeah, so right at the moment I eat between like 10 a.m. sometimes late, sometimes 11 a.m. so 10 a.m. and then I would aim to finish by 6 p.m. 7 p.m.
Okay, about eight hours, more or less.
Yeah. That's also evolved in my years of knowing what to do and talking to different people. But straight away when I started eating again from the juice fast, I went organically into a 16 by 8 eating window. And that was one of the incredible changes that I saw physically.
So why is that good for people to do, and what changes did you see from it?
So instantly my bloating after I ate was gone. I had balanced out a lot of my female hormones. I had really irregular periods, and they balanced out and they become like clockwork. Wow. I had loads of energy. Like, this was something that amazed me, because I thought like breakfast was the most important meal of the day. That's what I thought. That's what I was taught. That's what I knew. And I was like thinking, well, I'm never really hungry at that point. I just do it because I feel like I need to.
Yeah.
And so I just started to have breakfast later, and I started to have like fruit and smoothies at that time. And I had so much energy and clarity and focus, and like I got so much done in that time frame. And so now we do know that when you're in a fasting period, it peaks your ketone levels, and ketosis is really optimal for brain health. And so you can get those sparks of inspiration, the creativity, the energy. And so that's where it actually comes from. And there's science behind that, that people can look that up now. But in that, I was seeing loads of benefits in that. And then I remember like 3 months from doing this with no, like, I wasn't looking to get a result. I was so unattached from the outcome. I was just doing it because it made me feel good, and then my body felt good. Right. I had lost all this weight, and I remember people like picking up, like, you know, saying stuff. And I remember my pants getting really loose. And I remember just like taking this before and after photo. I was like, oh, like all of a sudden I lost all of this weight that I was holding on to. And so I think it's a really amazing way for people to have something that's sustainable and easy without having to make drastic changes or doing something drastic like an extended fast. It's something that people can do now and start to see some incredible benefits in their health and in their life.
So besides just restricting the eating to 8 hours every day, I would imagine you also changed what you actually ate during that time from what it was before, right?
Yeah. So this was actually one of my most favorite things that happened, because as I said in that previous life, I was someone who would wait for binge, you know, I'd binge eat and I'd wait for cheat day, which means I can have whatever I want. And I would just eat all of aisles four. And, you know, I had a really unhealthy relationship to food and with my body. And what fasting can be a bit of a reset. It resets a lot of cells, it resets your mind, it can reset your taste buds. And so I experienced this newfound relationship with what I was wanting to actually put into my body. Like, for the first time, I actually respected what this body was and is. And I was like, I only want to put good stuff in. Like, I really want it properly. And so normally you could wave, you know, a chocolate cake in front of me and I'd be like, okay, just this one time. And, you know, a birthday would come around and you would binge and it would be like, okay, that's fine. I'll get back on the horse tomorrow. But this time I was like, oh, like, no, like, I can sit there and you can eat that cake, but I'm actually okay. Thank you. And then I started to be aware of what was in food and what it was doing to your body. And I was like, I didn't want to put that in my body. Like, I had done this whole cleansing ritual. I'd done like something that's so drastic that people can't even fathom. And now I want to take care of it. And I want to actually fill it with good stuff. And so I just built a new relationship. So at this point I was having a lot more raw foods. I was having a lot more fruit and smoothies and things that were easy to digest and just building myself up from there.
Okay, so you mentioned you would be okay sitting around, you know, while I am here eating a pizza or something, and you don't have to do that. How did you deal with the issue, or did you even have it, of worrying about what people would think of you if you weren't doing what they expected?
That's such a good question. This was a challenge for me. You know, judgment in general is a challenge, I think, for a lot of people. And it still is a challenge that comes up in different ways of my life now. But at this point, I was in a unique situation. I had just moved from Sydney to Melbourne and I didn't know many people in Melbourne. And I just changed a lot of things in my life, from a relationship and a job, which meant a lot of my circles of friends weren't around me anymore and they were changing.
Right.
And so I didn't speak about it, and I just did what I wanted to do. And I spent a lot of time by myself, which in hindsight was one of the best things that could have happened. But it was hard at the time because I was like, who do I talk to about this? Like, everyone if I mention that I'm in this whole thing of fasting and meditating, people are going to be like, you weird hippie, like, what are you doing? And so I didn't have a community or group. I didn't know who to express that to. So I didn't speak about it. And that's what I suggest to people now starting, is like, you're going to get people that will say stuff and bring you down. And the moment that I had to start to, people started to catch on, like, oh, she's not drinking alcohol anymore, or she's not wanting to come and eat this food anymore. I felt a lot of judgment and I felt a lot of, attack. I felt like I was getting attacked from my friends and different people. I was like, why is everyone picking on me? But right. It wasn't until I actually accepted myself that changed. So it wasn't at all judgment on anyone else that they were having on me. It was the fact that I thought everyone was judging me and I was judging myself and fully hadn't accepted who I was. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I did that, as soon as I had that moment of realization, brought it to my awareness and went, do you know what? I'm going to talk about it with whoever wants to talk about it now. I'm not going to hide this. I'm just going to own it, because this makes me feel amazing. And people are asking questions about, why do you look like this and why are you different and they wanted to know genuinely, because they saw change in me. And so I started to own it. And then that's how the judgment started to fall away. And once I accepted it, everyone else around me accepted it. And I didn't get attacked anymore that I thought I was getting attacked with. It was just, oh, cool, Sam's going to come along, but she's probably going to bring a bottle of kombucha or whatever it is.
Yeah. So how big of a change in appearance and weight did you really experience, and over how much time? I mean, how drastic was it?
It wasn't hugely drastic. I wasn't needing to lose a lot of weight. And I mean, it's been a journey ever since. But at this point, it was probably like my skin, you know, I had more energy. My eyes were brighter. I had leaned down. So I don't know how to even explain it. There's a photo that you can actually see, like, oh yeah, that she looks leaner, but I wasn't really that big before. I felt better in clothing, so I felt more confidence. And like, you know, however you're feeling in yourself, the fact that I built this relationship with my body and had that respect and had that self-love, then that energy shines over anything. So it doesn't really matter about appearance and what's going on. It's like the fact that something shifted within, on the inside, my energy shifted on the outside, that people could see, and people, you radiate what you're feeling, right?
Yeah, exactly. You also mentioned that you had to find out you know, your relationship to the body and what it really is. So what did you find out that the body is?
Oh, that's a good question. I guess I realized that, I mean, this has evolved over time, but I guess I realized that this is a vehicle that we were given. Like, everyone was given this vehicle to be, to come here on Earth and have this experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was, you know, I'm taller. I have all these different unique parts to me because it's for a reason. It's, you know, it's might not be obvious to me right now, but it's for a reason. And so I learned that there's going to be times where I'm hating on my body and I want it to look a different way or be a certain way or compare. But the fact of the matter is that I have this vehicle that moves and allows me to express and allows me to be here in this moment and have all this stuff. And I'm going to treat that how I feel like it needs to be treated, with love and with respect. Mm-hmm. So I guess I unattach myself to the need to be or look a certain way and just appreciate for what it is and what it's allowing me to do and love it anyway. And it's such a journey, like in this lifetime right now, I think it's such a journey of this roller coaster of loving what we think to change for things to actually get better. But yeah, I think that's probably one of the biggest things that I learned.
Yeah. So you started Fastway to Health. Initially, it was just an occasional summit. Now it's a lot more involving, right? How much of what you do now is centered around Fastway to Health, and what's it doing? What is the involvement now?
Yeah, it's constantly evolving, which I think everything in life needs to be, and it's the same in business. And yeah. Fastway to Health, we're passionate about educating and empowering people to become their best and healthiest versions of themselves. And that's through fasting, it's through holistic health, and it's through self-love. And so right now we're integrating all of those things. So how can we educate people in fasting? The fasting summits. We've got the best experts in the world talking about that topic. So that's right. The first step. The next step is actually taking action for them to apply it. It's well and good to listen to information and to, you know, write notes and then to continue that. But nothing actually is going to change within you unless you take action. So we're passionate about, well, how can we be that vehicle and that insight, that human that holds a space for people to transform. And so we've created now fasting workshops and programs where you can come and fast with us and we can guide you through everything that we've learned and embodied ourselves and help you through your journey of fasting so that you actually do it. We've created an online community that you feel safe in so that you feel supported and you're not like that Sam that started 3 years ago that's going, is anyone going to pop up around me that understands what I'm doing? It's like, right. Yeah, we've got this space because we get that it's challenging when you first start. And then the self-love journey. That's probably my pride and joy. It's like I love seeing people be able to go come on fast with us and say, Sam, I thought the hardest part was going to be about drinking water for the next 10 days, but actually that was the easiest. The hardest part was that journey to the heart, that journey to realizing the incredible human I am and finding that love within myself again or having that passion again. And so I now do different things like soul circles and things to be able to have a platform and a space for people to feel safe to express and to be seen and to be heard so that they too can transform into the incredible human that they're forgotten who they were really and they can come back to.
So when you say they come and fast with you, you're talking about online, right? It's not a physical place that they come to do that with you.
Yeah. So depending, we have done retreats in like person before. Right now we're doing online stuff. And like I said, it's constantly evolving. So if we may do retreats in the future. We may do new programs, but yeah.
Okay. And you're saying, if I remember right, that it's like 4 liters of water a day plus the juice during the juice fast, right? But what about the details of what you do after the fast?
Yeah, so breaking a fast is really challenging for a lot of people of knowing what to do, what not to do, like how to take it easy. And we talk them through that when we do the fasting program where we take them through steps of breaking the fast and what that looks like because it's easy to go, you know, I remember Mitch referred to it one time as, like, you come off a fast, and it's like, I refer to it as the come down effect. It's like a hangover. And then he refers to, like, you're holding back a giant that's, like, trying to get to food, because you're, like, you turn into this ravenous, like, monster that just wants to eat everything. And so we teach, like, breaking a fast in ceremony, breaking a fast in taking things slow, really utilizing all of your senses to taste and to smell and to touch your food and to feel how you're feeling when you're eating that, and to build that relationship around it, not just eating on the run or eating mindlessly like we do a lot of the time. And then the other thing is to eat easy digestible foods. So however long you fast for, however many days that is for you, you then take that many days to break your fast slowly. It's a really good way to wrap that up.
Okay. And what about, is there a, like, certain guidelines for food that people try to shoot for after they're fasting, or any kind of a diet as a regular lifestyle that you're recommending, or what do you tell them about that?
I don't recommend, like, specific lifestyle, because, like I said, I believe in listening to your body. And I think that there's not one, it's not a one size fits all thing. And I think also what I've learned over time from my own experience, and someone that I really resonate with, which is Dr. Daniel Pomper, he talks about the idea of cyclic fasting, but also adaptation. So, you know, at one point, you know, a plant-based lifestyle might be optimal, but then at another point, a ketogenic diet might be optimal. And you have to be able to be flexible and adaptable to the change, depending on your environment, your stress levels, and what's going on with your health. So that's something that I always like to keep in mind, and that I always like for people to keep in mind. Plant-based diet for me is usually optimal, and especially coming off a fast, I would say to stick to that. So stick to your fruits, stick to smoothies. If you like having more hot stuff, soups, bone broths, fermented foods are great to build back up the good bacteria, those types of things.
Right. And by smoothies, you mean fruit, like, for example, the fruit and green combination stuff mixed up in a high-speed blender or something like that?
Yeah, so when you have smoothies, it's already pre-digested, essentially. The blending is doing the job of our teeth. And so it's already pre-digested, and then we're putting it in, it's digesting a little bit more. So, you know, smoothies, green smoothies are a great way to start.
Okay, I also noticed when you were talking about, I think you said, what, a liter and a half of juice per day during the fast, something like that, in six pieces all during the day?
Mm-hmm.
Was that right?
Yeah, so we typically would say, like, 2 to 3 liters of juice per day is good.
Oh, 2 to 3, okay. Because I noticed that you weren't doing a huge volume of juice, because you were doing 4 liters of water, right? And it reminded me of the protocol by Rudolf Bruce, you know, that is famous for the Bruce cancer cure. Mm-hmm. And supposedly cured tens of thousands of people of advanced cancer. And it looks like it's true. I mean, I've contacted some of them. And one of the interesting things he did was he used juice, but it was a relatively small amount every day, very specific. And then he had people drink a lot of water in the form of tea, which I guess doesn't have to be necessarily heated. It can be like sun tea or something like that. But he had a lot of water and then a smaller amount of juice. And it kind of reminds me of what you're doing. He had incredibly good results, and the government agreed. They arrested him and tried to put him in jail. But he had cured some of the judges, so it was really irritating for them. They couldn't really do it. Had to let him go.
Wow. So. Well, there's, like, the
hold on, your signal's breaking up again. Sam, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, start that little part again, please, because you weren't coming through.
Yeah, so the fastest way to heal is water fasting. So the more that you can dilute juice, or the more water that you add in whilst you're juice fasting, then the more towards the water spectrum you're going. And so that's what I prefer. Some people love having, like, loads of juice, and that's also okay. But I've found the best results come from water fasting, and so I would typically do that now with juicing.
Okay, interesting. So how much of your time are you busy with the Fast Way to Health stuff, or do you have other projects going on too, or what's your time like now?
Yeah, so Fast Way to Health is where it's at, where it's happening. And I spent a lot of my time there and then just doing, you know, a lot of my own stuff too. So, you know, speaking or doing meditation and different things depending on where I am in the world and the cities and things. But yeah, Fast Way to Health is where I'm committed to evolve and continue that journey.
Okay. Are you doing any individual work with people at all, or are you just referring them to the workshops and then they meet you there?
Yeah. So at the moment I'm doing very small group coaching with our soul circle groups. And so typically work with women. If people reach out to me and they want to do one-on-one coaching or guidance through a fast, then I have some programs that I do with them or packages and happy to work one-on-one. But it's really rewarding working in a really small, intimate group, like five or less people, because you'd be surprised with how people are feeling that other people are feeling as well. And being able to express in that is really healing for them.
And what did you call that small group? Soul something? I didn't quite hear it.
Yeah, Sam Soul Circle.
Okay, Sam Soul Circle. Can you say anything about what that does? What you do in that group?
Yeah, so we meet online every week. The small group of us get together, and it's very, I guess if one of my strengths is asking questions. And so I just ask questions to allow them to express and open up. And the more that they can express and open up, then allows whatever they're going through to be heard and for their brain to be able to acknowledge what's going on. And so it's essentially like a coach that's guiding you, but you're in a group environment and people are learning off that as well. And it's essentially the journey to the heart. It's, you know, what are you wanting to do that you're not doing, and how can you step into that? What's holding you back? What are the blockages? Let's work through those so that you can move forward. A lot of the time, there are fasting groups, so they have done a lot of fasting and now they're ready to go deeper and take it up a level to be able to, I refer to it as like this onion that we have, and we're constantly stripping back layers upon layers upon layers. But sometimes it's not easy when you're by yourself. And so I'm there to help, to support, and to hold a space for that transformation to occur.
Do they need to have been through the juice experience first, or are they totally independent experiences?
Yeah, totally independent experiences. It just so happens that I attract a lot of people that like fasting.
Okay, good. And then they can keep coming to the Soul Circle meetings as long as they want, or are they a set amount of meetings, or how does that work?
Yeah, so it's a set, it's a 4-week journey. And so it's a set group for 4 weeks, and you show up every week, and you'll be amazed what can happen in that time frame for a lot of people. And then after that, if we get, it'll be a new group that would restart. So essentially, you're just looking at a four week journey.
And so if anybody's interested in that, do they find out about it on your website, or where should they go to find out?
Yeah, so I would suggest you go to Fast Way to Health Facebook page if you're on Facebook and reach out to us there. Otherwise, you can email us your interest at hello@fastwaytohealth.com.
Okay, perfect. So I know you wanted to keep it to about an hour, and we're about 5 minutes out from that. So from this whole discussion, what do you think would be important for people to really remember that leads to everything else if they follow it?
I think it would be really good for everybody to remember that you don't know how good you can feel until you can feel it. And so if you're listening to this for the first time and the idea of fasting, well, 3 years ago I had heard of fasting, but I didn't know what it was going to do for me. But sometimes we need to lean into that discomfort and the uncertainty for our lives to change in the most incredible ways. And I had the guts to be able to do that and follow that. And I'm so glad I did, because it led me to exactly who I'm supposed to be in this moment right now, doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And so every time I fast, every time I lean into that discomfort, I feel something that I've never felt before. And I just get so passionate about, well, if I thought I was happy then I've just reached a whole new level of happy. And so it's like, how else can I feel? What else is possible? And so that's what I would leave you with. You don't know how good you can feel until you can feel it.
You know, you mentioned being brave enough to get into discomfort. And sometimes people get discouraged from fasting by friends saying, oh, you're just, you know, look how uncomfortable you are. You're starving to death. And then they say, well, just have a Big Mac or something and you'll feel a lot better. And they do feel better because they stop the cleansing. And they say, oh, yeah, I was just being crazy. So how do you differentiate between productive discomfort and the discomfort that's warning you you're making a mistake? Because they're pretty different, right?
Yeah. Well, that's going back to your body knows, right? And right. If you're on the right track, then you tend to have you have the warning signs. You have that. For me, it's I feel light. My heart feels so open and expanse, and I get like a shivery or a tingly feeling in my arms. When it doesn't feel right, I feel heavy. My stomach knots up and my throat constricts. And so I can figure it out pretty quick. But for someone who's just starting that journey, like, you need to be able to have those questions, ask those questions with yourself. You need to stop and reflect on, where is that information coming from? Should I be listening to that person? Like, what are they doing? They're like, do they understand what I'm going through? Educate yourself and have the mentors and people around you that understand. Because yeah, you're going to go through healing crisis if you're fasting, especially for the first time. And I describe it like a rainbow. Like, at the end of the rainbow, there's a pot of gold, but we have to weather some storms and go through a whole different bunch of weathers to get there. So yeah. It's like, that's, get excited for that. Like, get excited for the headaches, for the things that are going to show up during your healing crisis, because at the end of the rainbow, there's going to be a pot of gold and you just have to get there. So we have a lot of tools and protocols and support that we would suggest that you get amongst whilst you're on that journey, to make sure you're surrounded by the right people that will keep you in your lane.
All right. Okay. And the last thing that I'll just ask you, because we still have 1 minute to do whatever we want. And so I know a lot of people may be curious, if they know where you are, what enticed you to go from Australia all the way to British Columbia? That's a big change, and there must have been a story behind it.
Yeah, impulse.
Okay. It's a good story.
Yeah. Overnight, I went from moving to the Gold Coast in Australia to, oh, I need to be in LA. And I was like, where did this come from? Yeah. And a lot of our audience is US-based, and a lot of my time zones when I'm working is on US time zone. And so it was in my head that I feel like I was getting called to come over to this part of the world. And I went overnight from almost moving to the Gold Coast to going, oh, I need to move on this side of the world. And as the universe does, it provides. And maybe 2 days after this experience of not telling anybody, one of my beautiful friends who was moving over to Canada, I had interaction with her, and she looked at me and she said, you need to move to Canada. And my whole body just lit up, and I had goosebumps, and I just started hysterically laughing. And I'm like, I need to move to Canada. And it just felt so right. And so I now tend to trust those moments of when it feels right. And if you don't, it'll continue to show up. Like, from that moment, Canada, Vancouver, all of these things continued to show up in my path. And I just affirmed that I was making the right choice. And so I acted and did it. And I think it's been a journey, to say the least, ever since. But I think when it feels right, you need to act on that. So that's what I did.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So I guess let's have everybody go to fastwaytohealth.com, right? That's the website. And also Fastway to Health Facebook page.
And yes, come and connect with us there and on Instagram, and be a part of the community.
Okay, yeah, that sounds great. So thank you for spending the time. I really appreciate it. And we'll stay in touch with what you're doing, and maybe we can do an update when it's the right time to do that too.
Thank you so much, Richard, for having me. It's been a great conversation.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon. Okay, you too. Talk to you soon. Oh, we're still live? Good. I thought we lost everybody. Okay, sorry, you guys. I'm not a technical genius at this point, so fortunately one of us is. And I just wanted to thank you for exploring this interesting area of juice fasting with us, and a super incredible world-class guest, Sam Masser, working with her brother Mitch. And they were both in Australia, but she's now in British Columbia, and they're doing this continually on electronic media, social media, in these groups that she talked about. This is a really supportive way to do a fasting retreat. Wherever you live, you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to pay for travel or hotels or stuff like that. You can just do it whenever you're ready. And I've done a lot of juice fasting. I highly recommend it. It's a great way to do the detox phase of getting your health and energy and mental clarity and emotional stability and everything back. Really good, and if you can do it in the company of somebody like the people at Fast Way to Health or anybody that's really experienced so that you will understand what you're going through, which she was, you know, kind of alluding to with the headaches and discomfort and stuff like that. As we didn't get time to go over the mechanics of what causes that, but as these toxic deposits in your body, which build up over years and decades, start to come out because your body's not busy digesting the food that you put in it, really heavy food three times a day or whatever, the body automatically uses its intelligence to start healing. And when that junk is coming out of you, it feels uncomfortable. And that's what she was talking about. So if you're not familiar with that and you want support and supervision and that sort of help with the process, that's what Fast Way to Health sounds like they're really good at. And they've been doing it for a long time. And I've been watching their work for quite a few years right now, really positively impressed with what they're doing. So when you go through that and you finally get through a little more and a little more and a little more detoxification of the body, then it's just natural that things that toxicity caused start to go away. And that makes you feel kind of exhilarated and light and younger, just really good. And the whole point is to feel good in a long-term, sustainable way, and that's really what they're after. And that is perfect in combination with the work that Sam and others are doing for learning where to put your attention, about meditation, about attitude 24 hours a day when you're not sitting meditating, and how that changes your whole experience of life. And it's just the beginning. There's a lot more to this, and it's all good. So anyway, I encourage you to keep learning. And if you want to help the world even, and you've got an objective beyond just feeling better yourself, it just so happens to be very fortunate that the strongest way to become effective in helping the world is to get yourself in good shape first, and maybe simultaneously with whatever work you're doing. But the more work you do inside yourself, physically, mentally, emotionally, all that, the more effective whatever you do on the outside becomes. It's really amazing, but that's my experience, and that's the experience of Sam and many other people, I would definitely say, in pretty much every case. And it's a whole different experience of life. And I think what the work that Fast Way to Health and others are doing like that to inspire people and say, well, wait a minute, you don't have to feel really bad. You don't have to feel like you're getting super old or you're getting inevitable disease and it's genetic or because of bad luck or because of some evil germ that decided to hurt you for no reason, and or you're being punished, you know, by God or something like that. You don't have to think that way if you don't want to. You can just take responsibility and start improving your whole life, and your physical health is the best way to start. And it affects everything else, relationships, work, clarity of mind, outside projects. I just really obviously recommend it very highly. So thanks for being with us. Remember that we have a Sunday show continuing at 6 Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, blogtalkradio.com/LostArtsRadio. Incredible guests there every week. We started with Marcus, as I mentioned, and it's just been amazing because what I realized is that everything in life, everything in the world, is directly impacts your health. In some way, it's really interesting. So we've been having, even though it's a health show, we're having guests on every aspect of life and world events and inspiring people in and outside of government, all kinds of stuff. And you're personally invited to join us if you would like to. We'll also play this audio part of this recording later on for the radio audience so that they'll get to hear it as well. And then we have Saturday shows. We have two of those, 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern. We have a show looking at world events and their significance to other levels of things. That's pretty interesting. And an hour and a half after that show starts, we have the Planetary Healing Club. And you can still get into that. If you're interested in finding out about it, you can look at that at lostartsradio.com/club. And that's unique as far as I know. And the work that we're doing in there is pretty interesting. It starts on yourself and goes from there. I'll tell you more about it inside that platform if you decide to join us. And then we'll do as many other free videos as we can. On you can see the YouTube channel. There's a lot of stuff there at the moment, and you're welcome to come in the Facebook group, and we're all on all kinds of other platforms. So if you're just discovering us, search around, and we're doing a lot of stuff. And you can always give me comments and feedback and request for guests or show topics at richard@lostartsradio.com. And I'd love to hear from you, and I'll read everything. So have a great night and good rest of the week, and hopefully I'll talk to you pretty soon.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio Live, our new Saturday late afternoon, early evening, 1 hour live stream show. This new show precedes our Planetary Healing Club, which starts at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. The Planetary Healing Club, which is not free and open to the public, but you can join for a minimum donation of just $10 a month. Our new live stream show, which is free, starts Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern and 4:30 Pacific. It can be accessed by going to lostartsradio.com/live. You can tune into our live stream from our Facebook page at facebook.com/lostartsradio, from our YouTube channel at youtube.com/lostartsradio, as well as both Periscope and Twitter at Lost Arts Radio. You can ask questions during the show by using the chat function on YouTube or make a comment on Facebook during the live stream. Once again, that's Lost Arts Radio Live, Saturdays at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific. As of January 2018, the Saturday live call-in show is now an interactive video platform called the Planetary Healing Club. The cost is just a $10 minimum monthly donation, automatically billed through your PayPal account. Sign up at lostartsradio.com/club. The Planetary Healing Club is every Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. You get your link to participate in the show upon signing up as a member. Those shows are also archived as well for club members. Listen to our new shows with guests every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. All Sunday shows with guests have archives freely available on our website at lostartsradio.com. You can also find them at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, as well as our YouTube channel, youtube.com/C/lostartsradio, Mixcloud at mixcloud.com/lostartsradio, and finally, look us up under the podcast directory on iTunes. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lostartsradio. Or on Twitter at Lost Arts Radio. Be sure to join the free Lost Arts Radio Facebook group as well. Just search for Lost Arts Radio Group within Facebook. You can also join our forum on our website if you want to interact with other listeners. We also have links to all of the great independent musicians whose music we feature each week on Lost Arts Radio. When you do your Amazon shopping, please use Amazon Smile program at smile.amazon.com. And when you choose Lost Arts Research Institute in Sedona, Arizona as your charity, Amazon will donate 0.5% of whatever your order total is to Lost Arts Research Institute to help fund the building of the school and keep our radio show on the air. Please visit lostartsresearchinstitute.org for more information on the school we want to build. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter on our site under the Radio Show tab or right from the button on our Facebook page. Contact Richard at richard@lostartsradio.com or myself, Doug Diamond, at doug@lostartsradio.com. Thanks again for listening to Lost Arts Radio, and we'll see you again next week.
I never.